thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're excited for this morning. I'm going to read from the Bible this morning. We're going to look at one area of Scripture, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, if you want to go there. I want to tell you a quick story before we do that. I thought it would encourage some of people. On Friday night, we had two girls get saved again, which is amazing, which is brilliant. Yeah, it's great. Let me tell you the story because it encourages and it ties into this morning. My title this morning, if you're taking notes, is this: the light breaks in to shine out of you. The light breaks in to shine out of you. And on Friday night, a girl that's been coming for a while now called Chloe, her nickname's Hoops, so if you see her, you can call her that. She said to us 3 weeks ago here, I just can't share my faith. Like, I really, really struggle to tell my friends that I love Jesus. I really, really struggle to get, like, my faith out there. And so we prayed with her, and she texted me on a Monday morning a couple of weeks ago and said, I'm gonna do it today. And we were like, brilliant, Chloe, go for it. Like, we're praying for you. So she did. And around 3 weeks ago, the two friends that she really wanted to know Jesus came for the first time. They thought, oh my word, we're not weird. This is okay here. And they really enjoyed it. They missed last week. They couldn't make it last week. And then they came this week. And both of them, after the service, like a good hour after the service, it was like they could have walked away, found us, and we prayed for them, and they gave their lives to Jesus. So 3 weeks ago, scared to share her faith, scared to let her light shine before her friends. 3 weeks ago, just decided, I'm going to do this. And now the byproduct of light shining is two people now love Jesus. So, brilliant. So, light breaks in to shine out of you. This is a season of celebration and of hope because the Savior of the world broke into the darkness and said that it will never win. In John chapter 1, verse 5, it's sort of our passage that we're looking at all of this series. It says this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness has tried, it has resisted the light as long as it can, but it will never, and it has never won. And you see, we celebrate that. Last Sunday morning, Edwin Michael was down, and he'd done a really awesome job of communicating the first week of our series. If you missed it, it was titled The Promised Light. And Edward took us to Genesis 3, and he took us to Isaiah, and told us that this light of the world, Jesus, was actually prophesied and promised long before he was actually revealed. And Jesus comes in this moment in Luke chapter 2, and that's when light breaks in. And then on Sunday evening, Holly preached on this idea that the light is now in the darkness. And when the light broke into the darkness, it brings us an invitation to say, yes, we will walk in the freedom that the light provides, or no, we'll stay in the darkness. And so we have a choice to make. Do we accept the light? And so that is where I am this morning now. Light breaks in out of you. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, it says this: you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you have came to this world to bring light into the darkness. And I thank you that you have broken into our lives as followers of Jesus. We thank you that we have received the light. But I pray this morning, Lord, that you would encourage us and that you would challenge us to let the light that's broken into us shine out of us for the people to see you, Lord. In your name we ask it. Amen. I don't know if you ever bought something that people said you'd never use. Like, here, why would you buy that? You'll never use that. In the sort of week of lockdown, I don't know, people like buy gadgets all the time, sure, that you're saying I'll never use. But the week of like sort of lockdown started, I was doing an internship in Dundonald Elam for like a year before I went to Bible college. And I was convinced I needed a diary. Thought I'm going to use this diary, like this really lovely diary. And Holly and my mom were like, you don't write anything down. You'll never use this diary. I was like, no, that's going to have so much purpose in my life. There's loads of wee areas on it where I can jot down the plans of my week and the monthly sort of plans. It's beautiful, this leather Bible. And I thought, this is going to carry so much purpose in my life. And to be honest with you, I bought it. And for about 2.5 days, it did. And then after that, it just sat on my shelf. See, the purpose that I intended, it never actually worked. But there's nothing worse than wasted potential. Nothing. See, this had potential to really help me out. It had potential to really do something as I was planning and preparing for some things. But there's nothing worse than wasted potential. And I think the thing that wastes potential is when we don't pursue our purpose. When we don't pursue our purpose, I think it equals wasted potential. And in this story, it's the Sermon on the Mount. This is the moment that Jesus is giving purpose to everybody listening. It's not these like wise people. It's not these people who are like high-ranking government officials. These are just like the fishermen and the farmers and the normal everyday people. It's us that is listening to this. And Jesus gives this unbelievable statement. He says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Listen to the statement. It's not "you will be." It's not when you get yourself and act together you will be. No, it's "you are the light of the world." It's not "here you'll grow into it." No, it's "you are the light of the world." You see, it's this idea that purpose is branded over the rest of their lives, that they are now the light of the world. Not because of who they are, but when the light broke into their lives. And so my first point this morning is this: a new purpose given. A new purpose given. You see, Jesus came into this world with a purpose. He didn't just come in to like take a bucket list. He didn't just come in to see what was going on. He came with a purpose. And the purpose was to defeat the power of darkness, to win back God's people to himself. John 1:4 tells us, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." See, Jesus Christ did not become king at the cross. He did not become king and light of the world when the empty tomb or when the stone rolled away from the tomb. He was already that. He was already king of the world. When he was born, he was king. When he was born, he was the light of the world. His purpose was from the beginning. And then this is the incredible part. He turns to you and me now today and he says, "You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden." Do you catch it? This is identity and purpose. Before activity, before you do anything for him, before you earn this, before that you have to like sort of work up to this, he says, "You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden." This is so unlike what we're used to in our society. Here, you work and you earn it. You don't get given anything. That person who's going for the promotion, it's not the person who makes the most mistakes gets the promotion. It's the best candidate for the job. The one who excels in all of the areas listed, that's the person who gets the role and gets that purpose. But the Lord turns to these group of people and he turns to us today and he says, "Before you do anything for me, before you earn this, you're the light of the world, because the light of the world broke into you and it's now shining out of you." We are branded with this. And I'm sure that you carry insecurities and you carry things that say, "Oh, so many people will be better than me." And I do the same. But this is always the way the Lord has worked. And I'll show you sort of a whole picture this morning in every point that I make, that this is something that carries right the way through the Bible. Genesis 17, Abraham is called the father of the nations before he's even a father of Isaac. In Judges 6, Gideon is called a mighty warrior when he's hiding in a threshing floor. In Matthew 16, Peter is called the rock, even though he's about to go and deny him three times a wee bit later on. You see, God calls purpose upon people before we actually do anything. God gives purpose before your performance. And so many times we sort of take this worldly thing in with the Lord, that we try and earn it, that we try and make our way to the top. We try and feel like we're worth something before we get something. But God says, "No, you have a purpose. And this purpose is that I am given to you, that you, yes, in your workplace, yes, in wherever you do life, you are now the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden." Paul says it like this in Ephesians 5:8, "You were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord." You were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Catch the language. It wasn't that you were just around darkness and then now you're just around light. No, you were once darkness and now you are light. This means, church, that salvation doesn't just come to save us and then set us on a shelf as a bit of a trophy. Salvation has come and shaped and changed our lives and now is commissioning you with a purpose. You have a purpose. There is nothing insignificant. There is no small task in your life. Everything carries weight. This is who we are. This is the purpose we carry. This is exciting. This is amazing that everything we do carries weight. There is now no aimless walking. There's no like insignificant moment in our lives. There's no area of our life that we just feel like here, it doesn't really matter how I live. It doesn't really matter how I speak. It doesn't really matter how I love. No, every single thing we do is for this purpose. And so how you love your kids, it has purpose, eternal purpose. How you love your work colleagues, it has purpose, eternal purpose, because you are now the light in the world that goes into these dark places to show the light of Jesus. He didn't just rescue you, church, so that we can sit on comfy pews or on the sidelines. You're now at work. We are now at work. We now carry this purpose that the Lord has given us. He has saved you. He has changed you, and he wants to shine through you now. See, he wants to use you in the testimonies of your friends and your families that bring glory to his name. There's now no aimless walking, no insignificant moments. This matters. And when Jesus says the world, he isn't talking like abstractly, like wherever that is. What he's trying to say here in the moment is wherever your feet are. Where are your feet? And so easy sort of places that your feet are often is your home. It's your workplace. It's your friends. And how we live our lives and how we love people and what we spend our money on and what we spend our time on, this really matters. It carries the weight of the purpose. And quite often, there's this feeling that approaches in me. I quite often feel inadequate of the responsibility. I quite often feel like, surely I'm like last on the list of this. Like, why would the Lord want to use me to bring light to people? There's so many insecurities that I carry. There are so many weaknesses and weak spots that I carry. Why would the Lord want to use me? It's almost like I feel disqualified. And I'm sure if you reflect upon your life, you could probably come to that assumption for yourself. You could probably list about 12 people that you think may be better for you than the job like I can. But when I read the Bible, that's the exact way every person God used feels. Moses says to him before the moment, the Exodus that we all love, I can't even speak. Like, I can't really use my words in Exodus 4. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1, here I'm too young. He's trying to disqualify himself at that stage. Esther says in Esther 4 that she's afraid. Like, here I can't do it, I'm afraid. And we bring all of these disqualifying factors to the Lord and say, surely I can't be the light of the world, Lord. Surely I can't be the person you use to bring glory to your name in my workplace or in my home. Surely not me. There's so many insecurities. There's so many problems in my life. Surely not me, Lord. And we can bring all of these things. But when I read the Bible and all these people say the same things, never once does the Lord say, you're right. You're right, not you then. Never once does he say, all them lists, sorry, I got you wrong. Every single time that people come to him and say, I can't do it, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. You don't do this on your own. You don't do this on your own strength or your own power. You're called the light of the world, and he is the one that shines through you. And so this is not pressure, church. It's not this moment that you feel like the weight of this is pressure. The way I would describe this is privilege. What a privilege, church. That we could be the light of the world, that the Lord could shine through my life and bring glory to his name, that the Lord could use me in my home, that the Lord could use me in my football team. What an honor and what a privilege. It's not pressure. You see, it's not pressure because it's not on us. All we're called to do is this simple thing, to reflect. The light broke into us and now it shines out of us. It's reflection. And if you're ever like trying to be like someone, I don't know if you love people and you want to try and be like them, maybe like an idol, or you maybe think your mom's the best person or your dad's the best person or your son and you're trying to be like them, the easiest way to reflect what they do is to spend a lot of time with them and to do what they do. It's the easiest way to do it. And so when I'm trying to be the light of the world in all of these areas and we're trying to be the light of the world, our purpose in all of these areas, then do you know how we reflect him more? Do you know how our light shines brighter? We spend time with the Lord. We spend time in his presence. We read what he says and we read what he does and we act on what he has asked us to do. And then the Lord, in this most beautiful privilege. We'll use our lives to bring glory to his name. See, that means now, in every part of our lives, catch this, everything we do has eternal weight. Every conversation, every act of love, every decision that we make can have eternal weight for the kingdom of God. What a responsibility and a pleasure. There's a really famous quote, I'm sure you'll probably have heard it, from a guy called St. Francis of Assisi, and it says this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You see, we're not called to obnoxious living. We're not called to shouting. We're not called to anything that seems out of the ordinary. We're just called to reflect the light that has broken into our lives. That love that has transformed us, that love that has transformed us, everything that has happened, we are called to reflect it. And so, church, how we love and how we serve and how we live and how we spend our time and what we spend our money on, this can be a beautiful and a loud demonstration of the gospel to the dark areas within our lives. And as another saying goes, you might be the only Bible somebody reads. It might be the only Bible somebody reads. So we have a purpose, a new purpose, to reflect the light that is broken into our lives. My second point is this: purpose resisted versus purpose pursued. I wonder if you've ever tried to resist something before. I don't know what it is, maybe a trend. I'm going to use Noah as an example. Noah has this thing, right? If you're a young person and you resist the trend, you tell everyone about it. So if you like don't go on TikTok, you're like, I don't go on TikTok. Like, it's like a flex almost, like a trophy. So Noah, every single week, tells us he's not on Instagram because it's like he's resisting Instagram. So that's sort of a way. I wonder what you would resist or what you would try and do. And for people in Northern Ireland especially like guys, I think, if you say you're not going to do something, oh, you're not going to do it. Like, there's no way you're going back on your word. You nearly die on that sword almost because you're like, I can't go back on what I said. We can become almost a wee bit stubborn sometimes from what we said. And you see, when I was reflecting on this idea about purpose and resisting and like pursuing, I felt like the Lord gave me this. And hopefully you can follow the sort of the train of thinking. I think sometimes, if we're really honest, if we look at our lives, I think sometimes we can give the title of humility, but the reality of it is it's fear, and that resists what the purpose the Lord has given us. Let me explain. We can say it's humility. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want to do it. And we say it in the face and in the tense of humility, but in reality, the reason we don't want to do it is because we're fearful. What if someone mocks me? What if someone judges me? What if someone challenges me? And so we present it as humility, but in reality, it's fear. And Jesus keeps going, and he says this in verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Because it would be ridiculous to light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It completely is like against the purpose of why light would ever be lit. You see, hiding light is unnatural, but I think this is where most of us will struggle. In the name of humility, but in the reality of fear, I think this is where most of us would struggle. And again, in the sort of flow of the Bible, Jonah is called to go to the people of Nineveh in chapter 1 to give them this sort of message of hope, to repent and to turn to the Lord. And he runs away from his purpose, and he goes into deep darkness. Obviously, you know the story. Peter followed Jesus, yet around the fire, he denies Jesus 3 times because he thought it was safer blending into what everyone else was saying rather than standing out within the light in Luke chapter 22. And if we're honest, I don't think we really deny Jesus often in our language, but I do think we dim it. I think we dim the light whenever we're around some people. I think we dim. I think we think hiding the light like Peter and Jonah sometimes is freeing because we hear no one will notice me. No one will say anything. It's easier if I just sort of blend in. And we call it humility. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be weird. But actually, all that does is it takes people who are desperate for the light to go deeper into darkness. But when we finally step into our purpose, everything shifts. And we see that when Jonah obeys God and goes to Nineveh, we see an entire city turn from their wicked ways to the Lord. We see when Peter is faced again with Jesus, Jesus restores him and he steps boldly into his calling. And in Acts chapter 2, he preaches at Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. You see, hear this, freedom does not come from hiding your light. comes when we let it shine. The only space we're free, the only reason when we actually excel in our lives is when we do what we were born to do, and we have a purpose to be the light in the darkness. Yet we often choose to dim it. We choose to dim it in the light of comfort. Like here, I think like I want to rather be comfortable than stand out. I'd rather have everything a bit easier in my life than have a bit more of a difficulty. Here, I'm really scared of what people would say to me. Like my son may say that to me, or my husband or my wife may say this to me, and it'll be a lot of tension. And so, like instead of I get rejected, I'm not gonna say nothing. Here, I don't wanna stand out loads because. Here, then I have to answer all of these questions and I don't really know how to respond. I just would rather blend in. And we say things like this, don't we? We say things here, I don't want to be weird. Don't want to be the weird one. Don't want to be that one that people laugh at. Here, I'll keep my faith private as if like that's the right thing to do. Or here, I'll speak up later, and later never comes. And we dress it up as humility, but in reality it's fear. But here is the clear picture that I think this paints. Hiding the light is not humility, church. It's not. It is withholding hope. When we hide the light that is broken into our lives, when we don't let it shine from our actions and our lives, then we are withholding hope to a world that is desperate for it. And so it is not humility, it is withholding hope. And shining doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be aggressive, as sometimes we have a connotation to that as it is. But it does mean being visible. It means being faithful, and it means being unashamed. Some example, it could be like integrity when compromise is easier. It could be kindness when bitterness even feels justified in a moment. It means obedience even when fear is there. You see, we cannot resist this purpose anymore. We cannot live a life with a bowl over the top of us that we just keep it to ourselves. Our light in us that has to break out of us, it has to shine out of us. We have to be the lampstand that almost puts the light on. And it gives light to every person in the room, because there is people and there is loved ones and there is ones that you will brush shoulders with in your day that need to see the light that you have, because it doesn't glorify you, it glorifies the Lord. We need to pursue the purpose that we have. Let me tell you a story about a woman called, I think her name's Rosaria Butterfield. Maybe you've heard of her. If you have, you'll know where I'm going with this. This woman was in a same-sex relationship. She was an atheist, and she was a professor at a university in America. And she was at the forefront of these communities in a really public way. She was a very, very smart and intelligent woman. And she wrote an article one day in like a paper. And it was with the intention of getting a response. And she thought she was going to receive loads and loads of letters from Christians blaming her and being really hateful and all of this stuff. And I'm sure she did. But one churchgoer went to their pastor, a guy called Pastor Ken, and said, "Pastor Ken, what are we going to do about this woman? Did you read that article? Like, what are we going to do?" And Pastor Ken said, "I have a good idea. I'm going to invite her to dinner. I'm going to invite her to dinner." So Pastor Ken and his wife invite this woman for dinner. And she says it wasn't defensive conversation. She said it wasn't really a preachy conversation. She said it wasn't an aggressive conversation. She said it was very, very kind. And they invited her again and again and again. She didn't go because she was curious about Christianity, but she thought it was free research for a paper she was going to write. And what shocked her was that they didn't try and win her, but they listened to her. They welcomed her and they loved her even though she was different. And she is quoted later on saying this, "I was loved before I believed." No flashy sermons, no public debates, no anger conversations, but she was loved. And this woman decided a few years later to follow Jesus. And she left all these communities, and now she's at the forefront of telling her story of the love of Jesus. And I say that because this is just Matthew 5 exampled, isn't it? Let your light shine before others. All this pastor and his wife did was love her. Just showed the glory of God, the forgiveness that we have received, the mercy that we have received, the grace that we have received, that they just loved in this woman. And this made her come to know Jesus. You see, light doesn't have to rush. It doesn't have to be aggressive. It just has to be visible, church. It has to be visible in how we live. And you see, what I love about this story as well, and the reality of light is this. Never once was Pastor Ken the goal for this woman. But she's seen the light in Pastor Ken, which was the light of the Lord. And she came to know the Lord. And it takes me to my last point, which is this. Direction matters. Direction matters. It says this in the last verses in 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, but glorify your Father in heaven. That's where it finishes, because direction matters. The goal of the light is direction. It's not attention. The goal of the light in our lives, bringing out of our lives, is direction, not attention. You see, attention seems to be almost this, it means it's almost a drug that people are longing for now. People just want to be noticed. They want to feel seen, which is okay in some ways. Even see it in children when not getting loads of attention in places like school, that they act out to get it. Attention is just something that people are longing for. We hear phrases like mine and my when it comes to normal everyday things. Yet the light of the world shines out of us not to elevate us, not that your name will be known, not that you will be known around Ballymoney or that I will be known around Ballymoney, not that we would get any sort of glory, but the reality is this, the light breaks into our life and shines out of us so that he would get the glory, that he would be honored, that he would be adored, that he would be seen in families. You see, direction really matters. This must be the formula that we adopt, because it's never about you and me. We see in Daniel's life, when Daniel gets taken into the Babylonian captivity and he sort of lives this really amazing life in front of Nebuchadnezzar, they don't glorify Daniel. They glorify Daniel's God. When Joseph walks with integrity in Egypt with the Pharaoh, Pharaoh recognizes God, not just Joseph. When the early church live boldly and they invite people in and they care for the needs, they don't say how amazing they are. They praise God. You see, when light is genuine, when our life is full of the light of the Lord, when it is genuine, they don't admire us. They thank the source. They go to him. Please, church, do not become the source of admiration. Don't become the source that people love you. We are called to point to the one that deserves all glory and all honor. But there is nothing worse than mixed signals. Nothing worse than a mixed signal. If you're thinking, if you drive in here, if you're like sitting at a light and like all of a sudden it just flashes red and green at the same time, like what do? People see green and just go, won't they? Other people see red and stay. It's like what do we do moment? But I think sometimes we need to watch ourselves, because we can bring mixed signals. Our light can be mixed signals, because we can say something in spaces like this and our lives do something different. And when people look at us as Christians, we will have a microscope upon our lives by loads of people around you. We can send mixed signals. Some things that I can think of are sometimes when we value money over mission, it sends mixed signals. When we desire comfort over obedience, it can send mixed signals. When we desire popularity over holiness, it can send mixed signals. See, a compromised light, one of them, does not repel darkness. It actually normalizes it. And if you think of a flashlight or a lamp for a second with two batteries at the bottom of it, and if the batteries were in it and everything was working, the batteries were fully charged and I was turned on, it would turn on. But if I was just to move the batteries the opposite way, to just change it a wee bit, and I tried to turn it on, it wouldn't work. And all it is just a reshuffling of something. And I think sometimes in our lives, we can have our priorities a wee bit mixed up. Like if I was to have my batteries mixed up in my light, it would not shine. And I think sometimes in our lives, we can have a wee bit of a mixed up priority list. And that causes our light to not really shine that bright. It starts to normalize the darkness. It starts to be okay with the sin around us instead of actually showing the light that would repel it. See, the goal isn't perfection. Don't hear that. But it is direction. We need light that would point to the Savior, who would save our friends and our families' lives. I wonder where your life is pointing to this morning. What is the light of your life? Is it the Lord? Is it that word pointing? Or is it some other things that maybe have got in the way? Have reshuffled priorities that have maybe got in the way of what the Lord is trying to do through us? I wonder if the band could join me. You see, light has broken in. It has broken into history. It's broken into humanity. And it's broken into us as followers of Jesus. But it was never meant to stay there. You're not a storage unit, church. You're not this place that just like sits in it under a bowl. You are the lampstand. You're the lampstand that will give light to the whole room. And so we cannot dim, church, what the Lord has ignited. We cannot hide what heaven has created and ordained for us. We cannot underestimate what our light can do to the areas of darkness that surround us. And I think we have a great opportunity tonight to invite some people to church. Ian's going to share his testimony tonight, which will be great, and we're going to preach the gospel. And I wonder, is there someone in your life, maybe a family member, a friend, that you could bring here tonight? See, I am convinced salvation is coming. We've seen a few people saved this month already, which is amazing. But I wonder if we would go and walk into our purpose, that we would say, Lord, would you use me? And we would send an invitation or a message tonight. And we would see that our light would shine to these people and that they would come to know Jesus. You see, you have a purpose. You're not the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. And quite often we can choose to resist, but we need to pursue what the Lord has given us to do. And it needs to be directed. It's never about you, church. It's never about me. It's always about the Lord. My sort of prayer for my life, I say this often in our sort of team. If I had a gravestone tomorrow, there's a song called, what's the song called? Center. It says, if my life told a story, let it be. If my days told a story, let it be of you only. Imagine we live them lives. If my day told a story, all that I did, all that I was, let it be of you only. Let us never be the center of attention of our own lives. Let it always be about projecting and showing the light that is broken into our lives. I wonder, would you stand with me as I pray? God, I thank you this morning, that you are here. And I pray, God, as you have given us purpose, that we wouldn't just be people who would just do our own thing and who would just think, here, we'll miss this. But God, I pray that you would establish us as the light in the darkness in so many areas of our life. I pray right now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that there would just be names and faces that would flash to us of people that you want us to invite, people that you want us to love, people that you want us to show our light to. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us a mission this Christmas time, that you would give us a purpose this Christmas time to shine in these areas. God, help us not dress up humility, but dress up fear as humility, but let us, Father God, pursue the purpose that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, and I pray from the deepest part of my heart that we will see loved ones and friends and people that we do life with come to know you, because they would see the light of the world shining through our lives. God, grant it, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.